welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today is Debbie G. of Spirituality Gone Wild. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And we're especially happy that you decided to join us today because three have become four for this week only, because we have a special guest who's going to be joining us to tell us about his best-selling book, The Law of Attraction, the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. And this was a hot book for a long time, still is. I mean, right now, I went to check, guys, on Amazon. This is still one of the best-selling, you know, this is one of those evergreen books. It just keeps selling and selling and selling. So this is a big deal. And Andrew, we're so happy you're going to be giving us all your wisdom. But we got to do a few messages first. And Debbie is just jumping out of her skin. So I'm going to you first, Debbie, because I know you got some really big news to tell us about.
Yeah, I do. We have some grateful living stuff to talk about. Just pops right out. I want to just say I am so excited because I'm here with you guys right now, and we are entering into this Friday. They're this Friday and this weekend, and we're going to all set some intentions with this show right now, and I'm excited about it. Grateful Living is an easing that Spirituality Gone Wild has put out with the greatest co-creators known to mankind, including Walt here. And we are in our second month of May right now of this edition, which is April and May. You guys need to go check this out. There's a lot of value in there. It's not just articles, but you can actually download free offers like the LOA Today app, which you absolutely need to be doing. And if you haven't downloaded the LOA Today app, what's up? Go to spiritualitygonewild.com, click on Grateful Living, and please, you can just click right there on the links and you can get to everybody that you want to right away. And on the cover is, of course, our beautiful James Twyman. And we all love the troubadour of peace, because James Twyman from the Moses Code is outstanding, including the interview that is on Spirituality Gone Wild. And one more shout out. Well, now just say this one to the end about the spirit of abundance. We'll talk about that later on, because Neo Positivity Darling has some stuff to talk about.
You know what? I'll just hop in real quick and just give it to you guys as smooth as I can. Once I learned about the Law of Attraction, you guys know I retired less than a year later, and I've just been giddy with teaching it ever since. I've been interviewing coaches one at a time, and we play this beautiful tennis match and come up with new ideas. And I decided, why don't I get a bunch of coaches in the same room, bouncing ideas off of each other's panels, taking questions from the audience. And that's exactly what's going down. Every month, I have a monthly Law of Attraction Summit called Neo Positivity's Thoughts Become Things Summit. This month, it is May 22nd from noon to 4 Eastern Time, and I'm welcoming everyone to come. And, of course, you four are welcome to come and be featured speakers and just spread the word. Spread your tips and secrets. And, obviously, we got Andrew here who has a book that's called The Last Law of Attraction Book You'll Ever Need. So I'm anxious to get into that and see what he got. So, Debbie, Walt, take it away.
Beautiful. Well done. And a couple more things I want to throw in. First of all, Debbie, thank you very much for the promo on the LOA Today app. I want to add in there, make sure you're subscribing and sharing. I mean, I know almost everybody listening now to the podcast is a subscriber. And if you're not subscribing, I'm not sure how you're listening. So well done. But I also want you to share. Make sure that you share the message with others, because everybody needs to get their daily dose of happy. So thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening, but share as well. Sharing is a good thing. And I also want to bring in, we got an email from a listener, and I figured this would be a nice way to get the party started in terms of discussing Law of Attraction, and kind of a nice, easy way to bring in our guest, Andrew Kapp. This is a listener who's been listening for quite some time, and he's asking for a little bit of help. So I figured we could give a little help and then kind of ease Andrew in, and he can tell us a little bit about why we don't need to read any more Law of Attraction books. It's going to be good. So this is from Jason. He says, hello again to Walt and the rest of the wonderful LOA team. About 2 months ago, I sent in a concern about manifesting from almost all aspects, including future marriage, career, and overall wanting more from the Law of Attraction. Late last month and starting into this month, I have been implementing the measures of the 48-hour blessing method and even thinking about the concept of the watcher. Thank you, Neo Positivity. This brings me to the question, how do I bring myself to take charge and become a master manifester like all of you? It's like I manifested the blessing, but I want to manifest more and take control of my happiness. Also, a final question for Neil Positivity, is there any method that you that could help me be a booster to quieting the negativity? Again, thank you, Walt, and all the fantastic members at LOA today for being such a bright influence to me. I wish you all abundance and positivity. That's from Jason. So, Neo, we're going to you first. What do you got for Jason?
The second question he asked, I'll field that one first. That book, The Untethered Soul, really get into that. Learn how to disconnect. The brain is a muscle, has muscle memory. The more you disconnect, the more it will start to disconnect on its own. Just keep working on that, and you become a disconnection beast. And go from there. And what was the first one again? First question he asked?
Let's see. First question was how, where's the phrase? I want to get the exact phrase. I don't want to misquote this guy. This is important, right? So he says, how do I bring myself to take charge and become a master manifester like all of you?
Oh, for me, it was different for me because I was in the beginning. It was a long year's worth of journey, and I'm trying to condense it all into neopositivity.com so you can get through it fast. I would have to say persistence. This watch right here, the whole reason I have this smartwatch is so that reminders will go off. There's 54 reminders a day reminding me to either do an affirmation or just say yes 10 times or wake up. And each reminder, it's a phrase, not a sentence, because you get caught up in sentences. Certain words might hit you the wrong way. So do your affirmations really carefully. But you have to remember, I would say remembering to remember to wake up and do these mental exercises is the hardest part. And once you can wrap your head around that, quick cheat code for that. When I was having trouble meditating, I would say, I'm so happy and thankful that I'm good at meditating. I'm great at meditating. All of a sudden I got good at it. And the same thing, if you find yourself having trouble waking up more often, be thankful. One of my first affirmations that goes off in a day is I'm so thankful that I wake up more often. And then you're basically manifesting more, waking up more often. Brain is a muscle, has muscle memory. Now you're staying in that zone longer. You're happier longer. The people around you are seeing you happier longer. They want to know what you're doing. They end up visiting places like this and getting information like this. And we collectively change the world together. So yeah, that's the cheat code to how I would do it.
That's beautiful. And Debbie, jump in there. What can you tell to Jason?
Well, Jason, I actually just love the fact that you're even aware and present of what you're wanting and desire in your life, what your preferences are. And the only way in my life that I attract what I desire is I mind my mind, my thoughts. What am I thinking? Mind and heart coherence is a really important thing. And what that means is if we're in our ego, then it's really difficult because we're constantly questioning or we're constantly saying, yeah, but it's not happening because we're attached to the outcome. When you're in pure mode of just being and not being attached to the outcome, get out of your own way and stop interfering. Stop interfering. What does that mean? That means that everything is the way it's supposed to be. What we aren't happy with is when it doesn't manifest when we think it should. And the thinking it should is should have been on yourself. And that's the attachment. Also, I heard something about happiness. And this is really important. In the times of my life, which were just a couple of years ago, where externally I could have looked at my life and said, this shit sucks. Sorry, Walt.
No, you're not.
No, actually, I'm really not. I said that. I said a bad word. So,
that's
listen.
Because you're kind.
I know. I chose to be happy regardless. I chose to feel happiness inside. I chose to be in my bliss. I chose. I made a choice. And you see, the only choice there is, we aren't going to be happy we might love wherever we're going for a second, but we're going. We got to get present. The present is in the presence of where we are. And the law of appreciation is really what I see here, and the happiness and appreciation for no matter what presented externally. And that is a hard one to chew, but it's the easiest way to manifest what you want because you really are just in the allowingness, the acceptingness, and the appreciatingness of life. even though those are, I don't even know if those are all words.
You just said.
Well, they are now. Exactly. They just became words.
Well, you know what? I've been doing that since I was two. That's called love a two, baby. Spark the G vibe. It's your gratitude vibration. Keep that up and high. That's, I mean, it's, there's more to it too. And Andrew knows more about that than I do. So you tell me.
Which we're going to get to in a moment.
He's got the last, but tell you what.
He's going to have the best last word. That's no doubt about it.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw in one little bit before we get to that point though. I'm going to point out something that Jason, you may not have thought of. And that is, guess what? You are already a master manifester. You want to know how I know? Look around you. Look at your life. Look at everything in your life. Guess what? You manifested all of it. You're a master. You graduated. Congratulations. Get the diploma. See, what you're really trying to learn here is you're trying to learn how to do it consciously and directly. So you're already the master. You just need to kind of tweak things to decide, okay, this is where I'm going to focus my attention. This is not where I'm going to focus my attention. And that's the whole thing right there. It's not that you aren't a master. You've manifested everything in your life, and you will continue to manifest everything in your life.
Yeah.
The real trick is doing it with deliberate intention. And that's basically what Andrew's going to tell us about. So let's, without further ado, let's bring in the master of being a master manifester, Mr. Andrew Kapp, the author of the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. Andrew, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Well, thank you so much. Good to see you and Debbie and Neil. Really excited to be here and really excited about where the conversation might go. I don't know if it's if I should dive in and take care of Jason first before we get into things.
If you'd like, go right ahead.
Yeah, well, so you're saying my answer might be the best one, but I've got the luxury of standing on the shoulders of giants because you already went and you already gave great insights, and I just get to piggyback off of that. So that's fun. And I actually, you know, I say that jokingly, but I'm dead serious because everything that's been said so far in answer to Jason is dead on accurate. So rather than come up with a replacement answer, I want to add one little piece in perspective that I think might help him really, you know, take this home, so to speak. And that's the understanding that, you know, whether it's a meditation or a method or a technique or whatever it might be, there are so many ways by which we can use our thoughts and feelings to access the energy of the universe and invite more good things to ourselves. Here's the critical part where a lot of people, and myself included for a long time till I got my act together, a part where people kind of trip themselves up is they make it a chore rather than a choice. They make it an obligation. They make it something that they have to do rather than something that they get to do. Because I've said this, you know, in talks before, I've never found a football fanatic who said, "You mean I have to go to the Super Bowl this year?" It's like, no. They're pumped to go to the Super Bowl. They'll deal with the long airline. They'll deal with the lines. They'll deal with baking out in the hot sun all day in the stadium because that's what people that go to the Super Bowl do. They don't just show up that night. They're there all day because they're happy to be there. And what I mean by that is whatever you want to, the real key to this, and Neil mentioned persistence. I'm going to tweak it and say consistency because it's the same thing. The key to all this is finding a method that you actually look forward to, that you enjoy, that's so much fun, that you can do it every single day without resistance, without it feeling like something that you have to build up to, without it being this thing that you've got to reach for. It should be something where you wake up like, ooh, I can't wait to do this method because it feels good. And what you're really doing is you're massaging your energy, you're massaging your frequency, and you're predisposing yourself towards more positive thinking on a more frequent basis throughout the day. So for me, I always say 5 minutes a day because, you know, it is enough. You know, you can always do more, but that way it gets people off the hook. For me, if you do 5 minutes of gratitude every day on a method that you're going to like, you're going to do those 5 minutes and something's going to happen later on the day and it's going to upset you. And you're either going to say, this is not working, or you're going to be like, that's fine, and keep going. Because the next day, because you enjoyed the method, you're going to do it again. And you're going to feel a little better and fewer bad things are going to happen or they're going to affect you less. And then the next day, another 5 minutes and more and more and more. And basically you're building up your baseline so that when something bad happens, you're not as upset. You are more emotionally resilient and more powerful. And through that, you become the powerful manifester that, like what you said, Walt, you already are. Someone told me, they were thinking about quitting the Law of Attraction. I said, you can't quit the Law of Attraction. What you can do is you can quit whatever process and whatever method that, or whatever, you know, strategy you have going on that you're using to engage it, but it's there no matter what. So, my long-winded way, and apologies for the long-winded answer, is find something you really enjoy through gratitude or visualization or scripting, whatever it might be, because once you enjoy it, you're consistent. Once you're consistent, that's where the floodgates open and things really start to happen for you.
Boy, is that the truth. I mean, that's exactly how LOA Today got going and how it became what it is, through that exact process. Just, I enjoy it, so I do it every day, and so I enjoy it, and so I do it every day, and so I enjoy it some more, so I do it every day, and I keep coming back to it, and it gets better every day. I mean, literally, that I used to do this as a weekly podcast. Weekly wasn't enough. That's why I do this daily now, because I need my fix. I need my happiness.
I love that. What you just said, Walt, is what everyone should be saying about whatever method that they do. Weekly is not enough. I need my fix. I need to do it every day because I love it so much. That hit the nail on the head perfectly, in my opinion.
Well, thank you very much. Now, sucking up to the host, that's really a great strategy. Okay. I like that one a lot.
I thought it was good.
You were good. You are good. I mean, we got a master in the house.
I mean, that's really see that.
Yeah. So, all right, you got to give us a little bit of history about the book. I mean, first of all, that takes some balls to say this is the last book you're ever going to need. That took a little bit. Was that the way you structured the title before you wrote it, or was that
I came up with the title and the cover pretty early on, and we were talking before we hit the record button. It's like, yeah, you take a risk. My attitude is, if you make a bold promise, you better be able to keep it, especially when you're on Amazon, because if not, you're going to get killed in the reviews.
And absolutely.
I'm very humbled and fortunate to say that the reviews are very receptive to it. And basically, I'll try to give the short version of this, but I guess the story of the book is basically the story of how I figured out how to leverage or invite or work in harmony with the law of attraction. And I learned about this back in 2004 as a young, struggling entrepreneur. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs and salespeople out there, they can relate to having to kill your own dinner, so to speak. And I think people in that place, that's where they look for the books. They look for Think and Grow Rich, As a Man Thinketh. They'll go to Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, different positive modalities. For me, law of attraction was one of many. And it kind of rang true, but it was very inconsistent. And I had my successes and failures. And really, when I say inconsistent, I didn't realize I was actually what was inconsistent. It seemed like that was inconsistent. It was me. And
we don't get away with anything. I tell you, it's just, we can't get away with anything.
Yeah. It's like, we got to be on point. And, you know, it's funny, like, well, it wasn't funny for me, but 4 years later, I learned the hard way, because 2008 rolls around and I lost my company and my girlfriend of 3 years all in the same week. You know, I wake up on Monday, I've got them both. Then, you know, because things were going so bad with the business, I give it up for her. 3 days later, she breaks up with me over text. So on Monday, I'm waking up with everything. On Friday, I'm waking up with like 90% of my life gone. And I basically had to look in the mirror and say, something's got to change here. And it was at that point, and I apologize, I don't remember which one of you said this, but you said something really it might have been Debbie, but I had this epiphany where I'm like, something's got to change, and that law of attraction thing kind of worked whenever I actually did it and didn't stop. And I said to myself, I don't care what happens. I don't care when it happens. I don't care why it happens. I don't care how. I don't care about any of that. All I know is I'm going to go all in with this. And by all in, I don't mean all day, every day, because I knew I could not sustain that. I mean every day for 5 or 10 minutes with these gratitude methods and visualization methods. I knew I was going to be, I was motivated and really pissed off enough to just stick with it. And that's when the results came, and they were miraculous, because 2 weeks I felt better, which is saying a lot with a broken heart, especially my pride being hurt, being broken up with over text. Within 3 months, I'm in a brand new
relationship. That does kind of suck, dude.
Oh, it was. And by the way,
I got to just say that is kind of. But
yeah, and her in defense, I wasn't giving the relationship what it needed. I would have liked a phone call or in person, but in her defense, like it was my fault. You know, love attraction, well responsible, but yeah, it wasn't fun. But it was okay, because 3 months later, I'm in a brand new, way healthier relationship. 4 months later, I'm making more money than at any point in my life before then. Yep. And 6 months later, everything's different. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm waking up happy and fulfilled. And I actually figured out, not through a book, not through a guru, not through anyone else, but through my own life experience, that this thing, whatever it is, and we'll call it the law of attraction, it works when you work it. And I was forever changed. And it was only 10 years later, or actually 11 years later, where I want to do a new business, and I challenged myself, like, what can I do that I'm going to be fully engaged? I'm going to be excited to interact with my customers. I'm not going to get bored, to be candid. And I finally gave myself permission to try to articulate this message, because we all know there are countless books in this space. I had to find a way to set it apart. I had to find a way to make it the last one they'll ever need to read. Basically, I'm not trying to stop people from reading more books. I just want it to be their choice. I want it to be a thing where, whether it's my book or anyone else's, they read it, they get excited, and they stick with it, rather than just jumping to something else when they were already sitting on a gold mine.
So I got to ask the question, why don't people stick with it?
So referencing Debbie again, Debbie, she gave her version of the ego, and I'm going to give my version of the ego. Because the way I write and the way I see it is we've got three minds. We've got our conscious mind, we've got our subconscious mind, and we've got, as I define, the ego right in the middle, which is way stronger than the conscious mind, but nothing compared to the subconscious. And the thing about the ego, as I define it, is it has one job in this world, and that's to keep you alive. And that is good news or bad news, depending on where you are in your life, because that means whatever your money problems are, whatever your relationship problems are, even whatever your health problems are, your ego knows in this moment you are alive and it loves you, but it does not want to risk the status quo. It does not want to risk what might happen if you make a change, because there are people listening right now who want to be rich and famous, but for all their ego knows is when they become famous, they're going to get a stalker, and that's a threat to their survival. For all their ego knows is when they get rich, they're going to have distant family coming out of the woodwork trying to take their money from them. So their ego loves them, but in a misguided way, it keeps them in place. And that's why when a lot of people start to do the methods, there are these doubts in their head, like, maybe I'm doing it wrong, or I've got to be pointing like the southwest corner of my house, or the sunlight's got to be in a perfect part, or I did it great for the past 5 days, I can skip a week now, or whatever the ego needs to play on in terms of your fear, uncertainty, and doubt to stop you. Because again, it is worried that you are going to succeed, and then it can't predict the outcome. It can't predict your survival, not realizing, and here's the good part, when you do bypass the ego, use the methods that are fun, and they're so fun that your ego can't have an easy time talking you out of it, then your subconscious mind does all the heavy lifting, governing your actions, reaching out to the universe, pulling in the things. So it's all about bypassing the ego to the subconscious mind and letting it go from there. And because I'm the king of long-winded answers today, one more cool thing is when you reach that higher level, then your ego will see you're alive there and it will protect you from there. This is why people earn six figures, they lose their job, and within a year they're making six figures again, because that's their new financial thermostat. So whatever you can do to get whatever point in your life, once your ego knows that's safe, there is no reason why you can't easily get back there as well.
That's a really interesting way to do that. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Part of the reason I like that is because you found a new way, for me anyway, a new way of explaining why it is that we lock into what the latest thing is that we've been spending so much time on.
Yes.
You took a concept which usually gets beaten up pretty good and turned it into a virtue, the ego. I mean, usually the ego is something, oh, this terrible ego is in the way. It's doing all these horrible things. And you're saying, no, the ego is doing a great job. Congratulations, yeah. Ego. Way to go. We just got to get you to a higher threshold. I mean, that's nice. I like that.
It really is. And by the way, that was the challenge with the book, is just what can I do to articulate this in a way that really resonated with me? And by the way, as we can tell, this is the truth. I mean, we're using a combination of words to get it to click into the mind. You can probably tell already I'm a huge fan of using tangible physical examples, because our mind links to it so easily, hence the football example and hence a lot of stuff that's in my book. But yeah, like this part of our mind that I've labeled the ego, just because we're used to hearing that word, it really is a beast in a good way or a bad way, depending on how you want to leverage it. And for me, the key is having the awareness. Once you're aware of what it does, and once you're aware of how to get around it, you're suddenly empowered from a place of your own agency and your own strategy, that you can really take things to the next level for yourself.
And you can do it without saying bad ego, bad ego, bad ego.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I piggyback on that real quick?
Oh, yeah, no. Man.
Go ahead, Debbie. Ladies
no,
first.
No, no. Go, go, go. I can always wait. Believe me. I got lots.
When I first was starting this journey, the ego was my biggest struggle, like most people. It just wouldn't shut up. And I was trying to learn how to meditate. So with everything blocked out, it really wouldn't shut up in that way. And I got so mad at it that I yelled at it one day. And I realized it's a part of me. And it's doing a job. I don't know what that job is yet. And let me explore that. Maybe I can find a way to love it. And through a lot of research and mental exercise practices and stuff like that, one day, I said to myself, there's $500,000 cash sitting on the floor in front of me. And of course, the ego said, no, there's not. And I don't know why, but I said, okay, there's not $500,000 in cash sitting in front of me. And the ego said, but it could be. And I realized that it was just going to combat everything I said to it. So now I can make it say something by saying the opposite. And I used to play all kind of games like that with it, but me and the ego are on good terms now. Every now and then I got to cuss it out, you know, to remind myself. But yeah, that's a good way. I want to jump back real quick. Debbie said something about setting. I always take notes because I want to, because I know this is stuff people can really key on. Debbie said something about setting deadlines. Deadlines are cool from a business aspect and all kind of things, but they can also hurt you. Okay, if your deadline is 6 months from now, in the fourth month, I say every thought has a foundation. You can paint like a house. You can paint walls as pretty as you want and lay nice carpet, but if the foundation is built on crap, the house is crap. And if you set a deadline for 6 months from now, at the fourth month, the foundation of your every thought is feeling that. The fifth month, it's even worse. And 2 weeks in, you got to mind your mind, like Debbie said. Stay on top of that. These mental exercises, the other thing I was going to say, the mental exercises can't be a chore. That's so key. When you said that, that was so key. It can't be a chore. It's got to be something you want to do. Meditation was a chore for me until I realized I'm wasting every second that I'm doing this if I'm forcing myself to do it. And I started doing it right, and I started enjoying it. I was up to 3 hours a day meditating, up to 3 hours. Not like the first hour, then 2 half-hour during the day, then at nighttime because I'm retired. Obviously, I got a lot of time. But you got to enjoy it. Now I'm to the point every night from midnight till 2 in the morning. That's my workout time, but I'm working out up here. Midnight till 2 in the morning, every night I'm working out up here. And I love it. I look forward to it. Like I'm antsy to get out there and get to it. That's how much you gotta want to know more about yourself to change your future. You gotta push the issue on all that. And Walt said, you can't get away with anything. And that's what it is up here. You can lie to yourself all you want. You lie to everybody all you want, say whatever you want, but you're not gonna lie to yourself. Your brain ain't gonna let you get away with nothing. Your ego's gonna step up with all kind of proof from your past, hitting you with bank statements. You can't lie to yourself, so stop trying. Find a different way. Okay, find a different way. And that's my soapbox for right now.
Beautiful. Debbie, awesome. You want to come in?
Cute, cute. That was great. I love that.
Thank you.
Dude, when you said deadlines, the first thing I thought is, yep, attachment to the outcome. Can't do that. You know, I mean, and coming from like having a magazine and graphic design and stuff like that, there are things called deadlines. But even with that, learning to be flexible. And to allow. So let's think of the softness of water when it flows. Is it something you can grab a hold of, or is it just flowing out and soft? It's also the most powerful substance in the world. And the reason I bring that up is that that softness of life and how that we view it and our perspective of it and other people is one of the ways that I stay in this space of bliss. As I sit here and I listen to each of you, I'm in so much compersion over where you have came to in this point. I'm in compersion over myself, which means to celebrate others' accomplishments and achievements like a rock star, because you all are. One of my favorite tools in the law of attraction, and I really want Andrew to tap into this one, be that for others that you seek. Being of service, showing up. You know, if anyone out there right now is sitting there going, oh my God, my life, you don't even know what happened. You're in full blown victim syndrome and you need an emergency butthurt kit. Well, let me just help you out. I realize that things can get tough, and believe me, I've got it all, the experiences to tap into, so we're good there, and I do understand what everyone's going through, so it's not lacking compassion when I tell you this. Get out and do something for someone else. The law of attraction is the law of receiving as well. And when we give from our heart, you say, well, I have nothing to give, I don't have a dime to my name. Do you have your time? No, I don't have any time. Well, then find some. Period. Show up and be that for others that you seek. Be of service with no, can I add this in though? No agenda.
No agenda.
No agenda. don't do it from a space of because you want something from that. Do it from a pure conscious space. And this doesn't mean going around and telling everybody, hey, guess what I did? That's not important either. Have you ever just seen somebody who was hungry and fed them and not talked about it to anybody, but just walked away with tears in your eyes just from the heart connection, and you actually sat with that person? You don't just go give them something. You sit with them, remind them that they're awesome, ask them how they're doing. Now, I might, mind you, sometimes it might be a little wacky conversation, okay? I'm not saying, you know. But really, that's going to be my thing. So I would love to hear Andrew talk about being a service to other people and how that is implemented in your book and your life, because I already know it is.
Hmm. Yeah, well, first of all, real quick, to lead into this, just to thank you both for the deadline perspective. My slightly tweaked perspective on that is deadlines are good if they make you feel good, and they're bad. Well, I don't say bad, but they don't serve you if they don't. So me personally, I'm with you. Like, deadlines are my worst enemy. Me knowing that about myself, I leave them away and leave it more to the open to the universe. And I'm always not only pleasantly surprised with the quality, but with the speed with which I get things. But anyone, if deadlines work for you, cool. Now, with that in mind, since I was slightly contrarian on that, to speak to serving others without an agenda, I agree, except I have one agenda when I serve others, and it's selfish. And here's what it is. I know when I'm doing something nice for others, it's going to make me feel good. And my strategy is always to feel good. Here's the cool thing. This is the beauty of the way this universe and this world's structured that a lot of people don't realize. When you help others, you feel good. So by being selfless, you get to be selfish in a non-malicious way. So I think it's really important, like what you're talking about, you know, when you're setting an example, when you're being that space for someone else, when you're sitting down with them, when you're listening to them, when you're buying them food or whatever it is that you're doing, I think the beauty of it is, it's like, I am unapologetic. And I know, Debbie, you kind of like you're jiving with this. I'm playing on words to sound a little extra contrarian here. I'm defiantly unapologetic in the knowledge that even though I'm helping this person, it is selfishly helping me in the sense that it makes me feel good. But I'm okay with that because I know that keeps me honest and it keeps me helping other people. So it's like a circle where everyone wins. So I'd encourage people, like for me, I mean, I know we're in a weird space where people are a little nervous about pandemics and things like that going on right now. But before that had happened, I used to tell people, assuming you could afford it, well, if you can't afford it, trust me, you can. You take a dollar and you write a nice like note on it and says, like, somebody loves you, or this dollar found you because you deserve it, or you're worthy, or something. You stick that and you hide it in a supermarket shelf. You don't even know who it's going to help. All you know is someone's going to find it and the perfect person's going to find it and they're going to feel like $1 million. And it might be that one sign, which is really that one excuse they give themselves to make whatever leap of faith or whatever decision they were looking to make. So I know when I went to a word salad there, but just to kind of piggyback on that, there are so many benefits of helping others, but the cool part is you feel good while doing it. So you really become a part of this victory where everybody gets a victory out of it.
I love that. First of all, I also have to say, I mean, I feel like I thought I had created this, and then here you come on, you know, the famous author with the line that I use. I thought, oh, geez, I didn't create this one after all.
I probably neither, Walt.
Well, I loved it because what you said about deadlines, you know, if they serve you, if they raise your vibration, I don't remember exactly how you said it, but that was the gist of it. If it raises your vibration, do it, go for it. And if it's lowering your vibration, drop it. And that's exactly what my philosophy is. I love that. That was beautiful. That was beautifully stated. The thing that we do, I mean, I love the fact how you focused on, especially earlier on, about ego is okay. Ego is doing its job. Let's let ego do what it needs to do and reward it with what it needs to be rewarded with so it can actually service in the way it needs to service. And then Neo jumped on top of that and talked about how he likes to play a little game. Okay, all right, you like to behave a certain way, ego, okay, well, I'm going to feed you that game so I get exactly the result that I want out of it. And I love that. It is so good. We are touching on words in ways that just make they make me want to do this show 5 days a week. So I'm just saying. And I got a question. Now I got a question for you. This is an important one. When you got the book out, and now of course this is where you're doing all your promotion, right? And you know, you're being invited on a podcast and you're doing radio shows and TV and all this other kind of stuff. when you first started doing that circuit, was there a little voice in the back of your head, that little ego voice saying, you're just faking it and they're going to see right through you? I just have to ask if that was going on in your mind.
Well, you know the answer to that question.
I do, but I have to ask anyway.
we'll see if I surprise you here. Here's the thing. The answer is no, only because I went through that battle before I ever put the book out. So I've battled the imposter syndrome in many different facets. So by the time the book came out, here's the key thing, and I have a video I'm going to put out on YouTube soon about it, is I never pretend to be perfect. I never pretend that my life is perfect. The only thing that I'm doing here is saying, listen, I'm not a guru. Everyone is their own guru in this sense. And the real value that I offer people is that I could articulate this message in a way that helps it click into place just a little bit better than they might have had before, which gives them the opportunity to do it for themselves. So fortunately, Walt, I didn't have to battle imposter syndrome in this specific sense, because I, even from the gate, I wasn't pretending to be perfect, but I was on board, and call me egotistical or delusional or who knows. I was very confident in the message and the quality of the book. I'm not, you can even see the book. My name covers it, but I don't even put my name on this. Like, the book stands on its own. The book, if anyone's a star, the book is. I'm not. But then again, the reader's the real star. So for me, I know this is probably an unexpected answer. The only reason I didn't face imposter syndrome is because I was never pretending to be more than what I am anyway, which is just a vehicle by which you're receiving this information and inviting it for yourself.
That's a beautiful answer. I love that. That's absolutely the perfect answer, because what you basically did was you found a way to say, it's not all about me, so I can just let me go. It's not that big of a deal. And then I can just let the information be what it is. That's wonderful. I'm really great with that.
The only thing that's about me is I'm the one that's, I'm the advocate for the book telling people about it, and that's where it ends. And then once somebody flips to page one, it's about them. Once that happens, I'm there to deliver whatever value I can. I'll make more YouTube videos, but really I was so intentional. I spit out the book and then I massaged it. And I basically, it took me a month to map out and 9.5 weeks to write. But then I went over it through 10 times, basically meticulously going through all the sentences, not because I had doubt in myself, but because I want this to be as clear and seamless as possible so that the reader can get from page one to page 208 and have this experience and have it be this like unfolding. I kind of viewed it, it isn't a book, it's an experience. The way like a song, well, you know, it has the bridge, it has a crescendo, and it goes in a certain way. I kind of viewed it as a song because if I can get them there, then the work is there. And all I want is each reader to give themselves enough permission just to crack in the door, to do this long enough to get the result for themselves. And then just like what happened for me through their own life experience, they're forever changed. And then, yeah, they can get another book or not, but at least they know from this point moving forward that they don't need another book or another program or another person or guru or anything. They only need themselves, and they only need to find something that they can enjoy doing for 5 minutes a day and invite the magic from there.
Can I ask everyone a question?
Please.
This is eating me up. How much of what you currently know and are practicing the law of attraction, in percentage-wise, how much came from books versus just figuring things out, seeing how your mind worked, deducting, okay, that makes sense. Like the whole being selfish. I love that. Like I'm super duper selfish, super, super selfish. I'll give a homeless person $5 because I know if I smile about it, I'm getting 50 back. That's the formula. It's been working for years. So all these selfless acts are definitely selfish, but I learned that on my own. I don't really like to read. I've probably read maybe 4 or 5 books with another 3 or 4 audio books. So most of my information came from just sitting and being that midnight till 2 in the morning. So I'd have to say about 73% of my information came from here, just the quantum realm, whatever you want to call it. So if you guys had to put a ratio on it, what would it be for you guys?
Wow.
I can jump on that.
All right.
I'm gonna say that it's 100%. And the reason I'm gonna say it's 100% is because, no, regardless of where that we think that we hear the information, it could be, think of how many impressions that you guys get in a day. Just being alive, just going through what we go through, and we take in a lot. If we're reading a book, we're going to take some of that in. But have you ever noticed you take what you like and the rest just goes?
Yes.
So, Okay. And then when we're tapping in, there's this knowingness when we're at one-ment with source. So I think it's 100%. I think we have 100% control. I think it's 100% coming from our, if it's pure intention, if it's pure from source, if it's pure at one-ment connection, that is just flowing. You and the universe, man, just rocking it, rocking it. It's 100% you. Did you learn it? You were guided and you were remembering. Shit, you know it already. You know it already. Nobody, a guru. Oh, you are so your own guru. A book gives us something to explore. And the experience, I love that you said the word experience, Andrew. Because experience is what actually teaches us. Experience is what makes the impression in our soul. We know what our preferences are. Okay. So I'm going to just say at 100%, and because regardless of what you read or input or anything else, it's what you are choosing in your own being. So if you're at one minute, rock on with your badass self.
Walt and Andrew, you're not allowed to say 100, okay?
Great. Well.
So I'll say this real quick. It's so funny because as you were speaking, Neo, I was like, I was telling myself like, wow, I don't know. And then I started searching for an answer. And literally a half a second before you said, I think you said 73, my brain popped in with 70. So yeah. I don't know if we're just like linked or whatever. So the answer was I didn't know. And then the number 70 came to me. But you're the first person to ever ask that. That's the first time I've ever even thought about it or considered it. So, thank you for something cool to ponder.
Cool question, dude.
Real quick, shout out to Natasha. Hello, Natasha and Nicole Marie. Hey, you guys, type in the word positivity. Yeah. In the chat bot for me, please. Walt, what you got? Give me a number.
I don't know what number I can give you. And the reason I'm kind of hung up on this is I'm looking at my own process and what I've done and how I've gotten to where I wanted to get to. And I realized that a lot of it, probably almost all of it, is a game. It's kind of a dance. I mean, we've talked a lot about the ego, but it's more than just the ego. It's a dance between me and all of my resistances. And as I have gone along this path, this journey, largely through doing this podcast and meeting all the wonderful people I've met and talked with and learned from, it's been one step at a time of finding this little thing to chip away at the resistances and then to drop that resistance and then to let go of this one and to notice that I don't need this one anymore so I can drop that one away. It's an erosion process. And the process works both from within and from without, because from without, I'm getting all these great ideas from all these people I'm talking to. But at the exact same time, inside, it's either yes, this resonates, or no, it doesn't resonate. Like Debbie, when you said that, you know, it's like a, you know, it's like you pick and choose which is the parts that work for you, and you go with the parts that work for you. Well, how do I distinguish between that and source energy in general? To me, that's all source energy. So I don't know how to put a percentage on it. It's more like it's all working together. It's all it's kind of like saying, which part of the ocean do you use? Well, it's all ocean.
I love it. I love that. You guys are rock stars, man.
You know what? Totally. I'm gonna hit you each with one more question. And shout out to Nicole for putting up positivity. I said Natasha. It's Nishaya, I think.
Nasha.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Let's say all of us were at a conference, a law of attraction conference, which I'll have one coming up in October. Let's say we're all there and there's two rooms in front of you with two separate speakers and you don't know anything about these speakers except for one got all of their information from obsessive reading and the other one got half their information from reading, the other half from meditating and figuring it out for themselves. You got to walk in one room. Which one are you walking in?
Well, I'm going to want to go to both.
We got to go to one at a time, you know.
I'd probably go to the one that's less reading, you know, most likely. But then again, I'm still kind of in the same thing of we remind each other, you know. Andrew's book is a reminderer.
It's a reminder of
stuff we already know.
I am using that tonight on something.
A reminder,
I would go into the one that was like 100% books just because I haven't read a lot of books. And I think there's a lot that I can learn from them. So I would go there just personal to get, you know, just to gain that quick cheat sheet, the Cliff Notes version.
What if it's like Joe Dispenza and it's you know, scientifically based? That might be different. If it's just law of attraction, or if it's the laws of the universe, I don't know. I would still probably go to the other one. Interesting question. I want to know
I can honestly tell you that I can't answer the question right now because that's a question I can only answer in the moment. I have to, at that moment in time, reach inside and say, which one feels better?
Close your eyes.
I can close my eyes now.
Put yourself right there
and decide at the moment, at that time that I'm actually there. Because it's going to be different from one day to the next. One day, I'm going to be more in line with the book. And the other day, I'm going to be more in line with the other experience. It's just going to be, where am I that particular day at that particular moment? I mean, if I were doing it right now, I think I like the Joe Dispenza right now, but that could change a week from now.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, where are you at on this, Andrew?
So I might be making an unfair assumption here, but my assumption is the people that are reading the books are more receptive to ideas versus the people that sorted things out for themselves, and they're, you know, their ears won't be as open, which is fine.
Agreed.
Therefore, I'm telling myself that I have a higher likelihood of making a positive impact on the room of the book readers. Therefore, I'm going in there. I'm not going there to receive. I'm going there where if the opportunity presents itself, I'm going to give, because I would hope that people that are reading those books, their mind is open. They'll want to hear a few things, and maybe I'll get fortunate and I'll give them something new, a new way of looking at something that'll open some doors for them.
Okay, I'm changing my answer to Andrew's now.
That's the voice of a best-selling author right there, folks. So you want to pay attention to it. That's exactly where that mindset comes from. I love it.
I absolutely
love it.
It's here because we also view an author of a book as the expert as well. So that's another thing to be looked at. I'm just a real fan of channeling, like literally. I went to, you know, like when I went to go see Kyle Cease, I don't know if y'all know who he is. I love Kyle. And Kyle Cease is Evolving Out Loud. And it was extraordinary. He talks about a lot of just being in meditation for 2 hours every single morning, you know, and then he does these videos and whatever comes forward. But he wrote books, and his books, you know, now he's an expert on those things. So I think there's something to be said for somebody who's going to take the time to pull out of their head what is and put it into writing. That does make you an expert in what you're writing about. So I think that's a good way to look at that. Besides, I changed my answer anyway because yours was better. So, Andrew, honestly.
We have a new rule here. There are no rules, so you're safe.
There are no rules.
My goal is every answer that someone changes it to it. That's how I'll know that I've done a good job.
Nice.
See?
I love it.
Thank you for the compliment. Nice. I appreciate that.
So when you were out there, and now you were going out there without fear, because like you said, you had not set yourself up for, oh my God, you know, I'm an imposter and so forth. So you're out there and you're a true being. You're not an imposter, and you're open about the fact that, like everybody else, you're still learning this. You're still practicing. You're still developing. What was the best response you got to that early on? Like, what was the one that gave you that next jolt, said, whoa, this is great. I can't do enough of this.
Well, so it's weird because it wasn't the podcast interviews. It was the Amazon reviews. It was just because, you know, we all understand law of attraction. So we understand why, of course, I'm going to be scripting about all the 5-star reviews and all the people that are excited. And I put it out there. But I believe it or not, even though that I'd kind of set the tone for that and invited that energy, when they actually came in, some of them really blew me away. So I was like, wow, I thought the book was good, but I just, for some reason, I couldn't equate, like, oh my God, someone got such a personal experience out of it. And it seems, I'm trying to be honest in my answer, but I almost feel like egotistical and arrogant in putting it that way. But the book is not me. The book is separate. It's become this own thing. And it's so surreal that my name is on something that got such praise that really excited people. And because I'll get those reviews and I'll get emails from people where they're doing all the work, but they're using the book as the excuse to get started. So the fact that it hit early on and that it got such an immediate positive response, that was the thing that kind of like, whoa, all right, I guess I made a good call for myself and feeling fulfilled and deciding to go down this route, because I was pretty happy with the way things were unfolding.
That's cool. Now, I'm going to bring in a comment from one of our people on the live stream, Nicole, because I thought this was a cool comment. She says, she said this a couple moments ago, I can say as spirit seer, the soul is growing more when you are aware of your tone. I love that word. I was wondering how that resonates with you. What does that say to you when you read that?
You know, wow. It's kind of like, so when I see the word tone, I'm just thinking frequency. So it's more like, you know, for me, it's like the soul is growing when you are willing to be self-aware, you're willing to give an honest look at what you're doing, what you're putting out there, because once you see what you're putting out, you know what you're vibrating back, but you also know what you're gifting others through your decisions. I think, again, you know, piggybacking on some of the conversations we had here, in that whole idea of, you know, selfishly being selfless or selfishly, yeah, it's one of those things where when you're intentional about putting something out, you already feel like you're accomplishing something. You already are leaving room for your soul to grow. And through that, for your life experience to really kind of expand, and you might like just pleasantly surprise yourself by the things that you invite in. So that's what I got out of the word tone, and that's where it took me.
And then Nasha threw something in here that I thought was worth some attention from you. She said, I've seen many people who are so well-versed people, but they take no action. Where do you stand on the action piece? Because for some people, that's a big piece.
It's so funny. Like, this is where the secret gets a lot of heat, right? People like to badmouth the secret, and they're like, well, it's all about materialism, and they tell you you got to sit on your couch and do nothing. And by the way, I'm borrowing this from the term I'm about to use. I'm borrowing this from Abraham Hicks. I don't want to take credit for it myself. So I think you're going to get what you want sitting on your couch for so long. But at some point, you've got to take inspired action. I'm a huge proponent of, like, you know what, take that time to sit on the couch, because when you allow yourself to breathe and you allow ideas to come in, then you've got something to go on. So don't take an action out of a lackful feeling. Don't take action out of that trying to force the universe. But at some point, when you're visualizing, when you're meditating, when you're feeling gratitude, you're going to be inspired by one or more ideas. And that's the indicator. Because listen, we're in this three-dimensional, tangible, physical space for some reason. And part of that involves action. So the cool thing about that is the action that you take is part of the manifestation. The action that you take is basically the universe breathing through you in bringing that experience to you so that it could experience itself. So expect to take action, but expect it to be a labor of love, not a labor of lack.
And talk a little bit about what happens when you take the action. And I know this was a big fear for me early on, and I still wrestle with it at times. You take the action, you say, oh, geez, what if I went in the wrong direction?
So here's the thing. I give myself permission to go in the wrong direction, because when I'm starting out, not that I'm going to invite it, but I'm probably going to go in the wrong direction because I'm still figuring it out. But I also know that as long as I inject gratitude on a regular basis and make that the baseline of my frequency, those mistakes, if we're even going to call them mistakes, I'm going to quickly be able to redirect myself. It's kind of like a GPS. You know, it's not going to be like the loud voice, you know, saying very sarcastically, recalculating, but there will be something in there where you're going the wrong direction, and something inside of you is in its own soft ways and say recalculating. And before you know it, you're going to be on the right path. But technically, part of the right path is a couple of wrong turns. You can make, you know, three lefts to make one right, if that math makes sense.
It does. You
have to give yourself permission to do it.
It's a little confusing when you're on that map, because it feels like you're going round and round in circles, but nevertheless, you can take three lefts or make a right-hand turn.
The key is, just in case it happens, to give yourself permission, to give yourself a break. I think the thing that we struggle with the most is, more than judging any other person, even people that have wronged us, is we judge ourselves. We are the hardest on ourselves. And the worst part is, I'm saying this now and I'm paying it lip service and we all understand it intellectually, but rarely any of us, probably myself included, realizes how much we actually do it because it's in the background. It's kind of hiding there beneath the surface. It's the ego keeping us stuck in place. So it's really important to, again, going back to that word tone and being self-aware, is to understand that that's also part of the game for whatever reason, whatever conditioned us into that space. I don't care what conditioned me. All I care about is the awareness that it's happening, to be aware, to be cognizant and say, okay, what can I do to not be so hard on myself? What I'm saying to myself, would I do that to someone else? Would I hold them to that same ridiculous standard? Would I kick them when they're down? Or would I say, would I pat them on the back and say, that's all good. You didn't hurt anyone and you didn't mean to hurt anyone. Go in this direction and keep doing what you're doing because you might just be in a better position where you could help someone else behind you. So that's the method and the attitude that I like to take.
Andrew, tag me in. Tag me in.
I love it.
No regrets. And
by the way, we got a little hello from you too. Somebody in the live stream.
Kathy,
hey, what's up? Good. Kathy's awesome. I love Kathy.
Isn't she? Kathy's one of the most amazing people in this world. If you guys don't know who she is, she's been on LOA Today. She also is Conscious Business Zone. Check her out on Facebook because she's remarkable. And we're actually doing something coming up with Kathy. I just want to say a big, huge thank you to Andrew because you have been just so much fun today. I just posted a link to Amazon and to the book. One of the things I'm loving about this book, it says everything you want. What if? And he starts things off with this question. What if everything you ever wanted really is just a thought away? What if you could easily manifest the money, relationships, health, success, and life you desired? And what if there really was a universal principle known as the law of attraction that made it all possible? And the reason I love that so much is because when we go into the curiosity mode, the curiosity mode breaks the judgment, blame, shame, criticism, the willingness to be curious. It breaks the ego pattern. And you're instantly doing that. In the very first section of his book, he's already bringing you into the curious state of being. And that, to me, is how I get out of the ego space and into a spirit space. When we shift from the actual lead of the ego into the gold of the spirit, and the gratitude and appreciation is my leverage. And I love that you brought that up, but I'm also loving that you are using the tool of curiosity in the book right away.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, like it all comes down to, and this is piggybacking off of Tony Robbins. If I remember right, I get so many things from so many different people. Sometimes I don't even remember who I'm getting it from, but it's all about strategically asking the right questions. What are the right questions that are going to point your mindset, therefore your frequency, therefore your state of being in the right direction? So thank you for that acknowledgement, Debbie. That's exactly what I was trying to do with the book, to get someone in that open, receptive state so that they can really take in and take advantage of the content.
So we've got just a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure we get this in here. People want to find out more about Andrew. How do they find out about Andrew? I mean, where do they reach out to you? There's got to be someplace. I mean, are you out there somewhere?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Instagram is Andrew Cap Insta, but to be honest, the two links I always give people, you can go to lastlawofattractionbook.com, and that'll auto-forward to the Amazon listing. You get on Kindle, paperback, audiobook, whatever format you prefer. But if you don't want to pull out your wallet, that's okay also. That's why I've got youtube.com/AndrewCap. That's K-A-P. That's where I teach new methods. You know, sometimes I'll talk with other people. I'll have a few other surprises. Even today, I just posted a really cool video inspired by my friend Stephanie Pierucci called The Living Vision Board. So people might want to see, what is it? Is there such thing as a vision board that actually knows what you want and populates itself for you? I actually answer that question. So you can go to YouTube today and you can check that out. But whether it's the book or the YouTube channel or anything else, I'm super grateful to anyone that checks out the content. I hope that it delivers well. And I'm so grateful to Neo, Debbie, and Walt, all three of you, for having me on today and chatting with me. It's been a wonderful, really amazing conversation. And I'm not surprised. You guys are awesome.
Ditto, ditto, ditto. We love having you too. Thank you very much for the time that you gave and the insights and the energy. We so much appreciate it. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Neil. Looking forward to see you guys next week. Thank you to all of our podcast listeners as well, because hey, without you guys, we wouldn't have a podcast. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.